this was ideal for the Arab press. After all, they did the killing, let someone else deal with the bodies.
One of the fellows who was visiting me just gave me this, gave me a paper,
you know, from Eretz Yisrael, Meshi Zahav, that they were just in Rishus, the Syrian government, that Zaka's going to be coming here to excavate the waters to see if they could find any remains, any bones of Jews who were killed over here. There's a whole thing, I'm sure you'll take a look, we'll get to see it afterwards. Jews had a black market value, and Jewish victims were ordered to remove them. The sculptural like life shoes are different shapes and sizes, a mix of men's, women's, and children's. Of course, this was a memorial, this was done, it was an idea in Einfeld, but we'll talk in a few minutes about the sikha that the Lubavitcher Rebbe gave in Achon Shel Pesach, and Lama Gimel will talk about in a few minutes why Dafka shoes. He wasn't speaking about it. But why did it happen, such an Indian, that this is what remains of, or this memorial remains, a memorial of shoes, that there was Hashgacha Pratis like that? Life shoes are different shapes and sizes, men's and women's, children's, fancy shoes, sporty shoes, tattered shoes. They have one thing in common, they're all worn by Jews. Remember we were together, was it in Auschwitz or was it in Birkenau where we saw all the shoes that they have their huge, huge collection. They took off from the Jews. Something about the shoe about in a minute. The shoes are not neatly lined up for the actual victims. Yet the shoes are surrounded by brandishing guns. Some shoes are scattered, otherwise on top of each other. There are a few single shoes that are missing a lace. They were murdered in the open by people that... Again, these were not... They were murdered in the city. Jews are part of our identity. They make a statement about who we are, hope to be. They take us where we want to go. They give a person dignity. That's what we'll talk about. And when viewing the sculpture, it is difficult to avoid a heartbreaking moment for you. It's the curiosity as to whom the shoes belong to and the lives the owners might have led under normal circumstances. What did that man do for a living? That woman ever strolled along the riverbank with her sweet mitzvah. Did he laugh when he skipped stones in the river with his friend? What did he become? The sounds of the actual events were undoubtedly entangled met by gunshots and screams. You could hear the scream all the way down the river. You could hear screaming and screaming and screaming. Although the shoes of the promenade is located in an extremely busy area, it evokes an incredible stillness. My husband and I studied the sculpture. The noise of the city dissolved into nothing. This an echo. They probably recognized some of their murderers amongst the ranks of the Arrow Cross. And no doubt the Hungarian bystanders. Maybe there's some Hungarian bystanders now also. I don't know. They're welcome to listen. And no doubt it could be that they were the grandparents who are also standing around watching a couple of Jews over here. And no doubt the Hungarian bystanders who either approved of these murders or did nothing to prevent them knew the victims are members of the Arrow Cross. True, the wartime Budapest was less populated, not crammed with tourists. But this slaughter along the Danube still took place in the city. These Jews were not whisked off to the camps in secret. They were not herded into the middle of the woods. They were murdered in the open by people they knew, in front of people they knew, in the middle of the city. The shots were fired. The bodies floated down the river. The shoes gathered up, and the Arrow Cross continued to hunt for more Jews to murder. And the friends, neighbors, co-workers who stood around and watched, they walked away in their comfortable shoes. There's a story that I told a couple of years ago on page 27. Right. On page 27, there's actually one of the few times I'm actually quoted over here. But I told this story, and other people, I don't remember where I heard this story, how I heard this story. It was written in a sefer that I saw. So I wasn't the one that, I just saw it in a sefer, but somebody heard me say it, and they wrote it in this book on grieving and healing. It was on March 5th, 2016, Broken Heart in Shadow Luchos, comments of Abarok Kohn and the observance of the 12th Yahrzeit of Hindi Kohn. So he says, Rabbi Moshe Warmiger Rav Yesh Kodesh Shul in Woodmere, Long Island, tells a remarkable story that I would like to share with you before the Dvar Torah. A chassid asked his Rebbe, I don't remember which Rebbe it was. I don't remember. I knew the name, it wasn't just I said a Rebbe, I don't remember now. But a chassid asked his Rebbe, there are two lines in the davening that are said on the holiest day of the year in Rosh Hashanah, Avinu Malkeinu, that seem to echo the same sentiment. Avinu Malkeinu, I say to my Harugim Hashem Kodshacha, our Father, our King, act for the sake of those who were murdered for your holy name. I say to my Harugim Hashem Kodshacha. But then afterwards we say Avinu Malkeinu, I say to my Tivuch Ba'al Yichudacha, our Father, our King, act for the sake of those slaughtered for your oneness. So the question is, what's the difference between those who were Harugim Hashem Kodshacha, who were murdered for your holy name, and those who were tevuchim al yichudecha, who were slaughtered for your oneness? Hashem's holy name for his oneness, what's the difference? So the chassid answered, the Rebbe asked him. And the chassid, who was here, answered the following. He said, I'm a Holocaust survivor. I lived in a small shtetl in Budapest. Obviously, he didn't mean in Budapest, but near Budapest. We're on the night of January 8, 1945, the Nazi division, known as the Hungarian Arrow Cross militiamen, marched into my town, rounded up all of the Jews, approximately 100 people, to the banks of the Danube River. They lined us up side by side at the river's edge, not far from the Hungarian Parliament building.
Where is it?
Okay. Not far from the Hungarian Parliament building. We were ordered to take off our shoes. So it's not Stama Memorial. First of all, they wanted to collect the shoes. They used the shoes. They kept the shoes. The Goyim. They lined us up side by side at the river's edge, not far yet. We were ordered to take off our shoes and we were to be shot at the edge of the water so that our bodies would fall into the icy river and get carried away. The Nazis pulled the shoestrings out of our shoes and used them to tie our helpless hands together. So the shoestrings were taken out. So the Jewish hands were tied together. Before we were shot, they positioned us at the edge of the water. So we fell into the river, the dead body would pull the still living victims with it. The killers faced us without mercy, and we faced our killers without blindfolds. Then one of the Nazi commanders who was standing on the embankment of the river lifted his machine gun at us and began to shoot, starting from the right side, moving to the left. All of us raised our voices at once and cried out to Hashem. The sentence from the Torah the Jews say when being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The ones on the right side of the line were unable to complete the Shema, and they only reached the middle of the sentence, Shema Yisrael Hashem. So the ones that were by the right with the arrow cross started to shoot, they could only reach the name Shema Yisrael, they reached the name Hashem. That's all they reached. Hashem, that's all they were able to reach. But those on the left side of the line managed to say all words of the Shema before falling into the river. The Danube River was red with blood that day. All the bodies tied together by shoelaces or rope or fate would either sink or float away down the river. If the Nazis noticed that some of us Jews, if the Hungarians noticed that some of us Jews were still alive, they used us for target practice. Rebbe the Chassid said, I survived that bloody, brutal massacre. I passed out for a second or two, but the ice-cold water of the Danube in December revived me instantly. I remembered coming to my senses and clearly realizing what had happened. Those Yidden on the right side who were killed instantly were murdered by mid-sentence. They were Harugim Hashem Kodeshecha, because they came to the word Hashem. They only came to Shema Yisrael Hashem, so they were killed Hashem Kodeshecha. They're Harugim Hashem Kodeshecha by the word Hashem, His holy name. Or those on the left who managed to finish the entire Shema all the way to the last word, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, they were tzibuchim al yichudecha, they were slaughtered by His oneness, they were slaughtered by the name of Echad. Like Rabbi Akiva, Yotzis on the Shema side, the Echad. Rabbi said, today in 2016, the shoes on the Danube is a memorial in Budapest, Hungary, on the banks of the Danube River. There said 60 pairs of shoes, the type worn in the 1940s, is a memorial of those slaughtered by the Nazis. Every Yom Tov I daven in the shul and ascend to Duch and to do Nesias Kapayim. I and other Kahanim in the shul take off our shoes and leave them in a row up front. Every time I see our shoes lined up, I'm reminded of the haunting scene of the shoes of the Danube, and of those Kedoshim who are Harugim Hashem Kedoshim, murdered for your holy name, and those who are Tvukim al Yichudacha, who were slaughtered for you. Before we say Kippur to Hillel and Anigin, let me just share with you something that the Lubavitch Rebbe Schusselani said by Angel Pesach. It says in the Pasuk in Yeshayah, the Hechem is told at the end of time, when the Jewish people are going to be gathered from all the places of our exile. All those Jews are still here in Hungary, the Jews of Poland and Russia, and the Jews of America and England and France. Every Jew in every shtetl, the same way that every Jew was hunted down Lahavdil by a Nazi, even a single Jew that was hiding in a forest was hunted down. Hashem is going to hunt for every single Jew that's left in the world. Whether he remembers he's a Jew, he doesn't remember he's a Jew. Every single Jew, Hashem, and every single Jew is going to be brought together. And it says in Pasuk, on that day when Hashem is going to bring us all back together and bring us to Yerushalayim, where we're going in Mitzvah on Thursday. Hashem is going to dry up the river of Egypt. He's going to dry up the river that is covering up, that's covering up all the rivers of the world where Jews were thrown, that are covering up our brothers and sisters. Hashem is going to cover up the river of Egypt. He's going to dry up. Hashem is going to dry up the river of Egypt. And he's going to blow apart the river with the breath of his mouth. And he's going to break the river into seven parts. And then it says two words that Mamash, the Rebbe says, are beyond comprehension. It says then, V'hidrich b'na'olim. And Hashem is going to walk us through wearing our shoes. Not without our shoes. Hashem is going to walk us through with our shoes. V'hidrich b'na'olim. So the Rebbe asks, "V'hidrich b'na'olim." What does it mean that when we come back from Golus, the Navi is saying that when the Jewish people are brought back from Golus, they're living in the dead. V'hidrich b'na'olim. We're not going to be without our shoes. We're not going to be taken. That the Hungarians stood over here to collect our shoes. They were generous enough to take off the shoelaces so they could tie our hands together. And all the shoes that we took off and were taken off from us are going to be given back, are going to be brought back to us. And it says in Pasuk, V'hidrich b'na'olim. So what does that mean that we're going to wear our shoes, we're going to come back wearing our shoes? So, the Lubavitch Rebbe brought the Pasuk in Shir Shim, the Rebbe's Lane Pesach. And it says in Pasuk, Mayofu Pamaich Banaolim Bas Nediv. Mayofu Pamaich Banaolim Shkoyach. Mayofu Pamaich Banaolim. How beautiful are the footsteps of the Jewish people in their shoes. Bas Nediv, the daughter of the one who was the Nediv, who volunteered, which means the children of Avraham Avinu. So what's this pasuk talking about? Mayofu Pamaich Banaolim Bas Nediv. How beautiful are the footsteps of the Jewish people when they're wearing their shoes. The children of Avraham Avinu, when they have their shoes on. So the Medrash says there in Shir Shirim, it's referring to the Jewish people going up to Yerushalayim to be Oyla Regel. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Mayofu Pamaich Banaolim. Look how beautiful are the footsteps of the Jewish people in their shoes walking up to the Beis HaMikdash to be Oyla Regel, to go up to Beis HaMikdash by the Sholish Regolim. Mayofu Pamaich Banaolim Bas Nediv. The Baruch Shalom has nachas watching the children of Avraham Avinu wearing their shoes, not going barefooted, but wearing their shoes going up to the Har HaBayis. Over there by the Har HaBayis, we take off our shoes to go in. That's something else. But Mayofu Pamaich Banaolim Bas Nediv. So the Rebbe asks, there must be a connection between the Pasuk that it says, describing Kibbutz Goli is, where it says in Novi, V'hi kol l'shiv v'necholim v'hidrich banaolim, v'hidrich banaolim, they were going to be led back from Golus wearing our shoes. And the Baruch Shem has the greatest nachas when he sees Mayofu Pamaich Banaolim Bas Nediv. You remember Simchas Torah many years ago, I think we were at that time in the gym, so there are only a few here who remember. And I'm not one of them, even though I said the story. I don't remember which tzaddik said the story. But there was a meister of a tzaddik who sent his neshama up to Shemayim. By the morning of Simchas Torah, he sent his neshama, he had an Elias neshama. And his neshama went up to Shemayim. And when he was coming there into Gan Eden, so he saw in Gan Eden that there were piles and piles of shoes. And he didn't know what, like dirty shoes, also men's shoes, little shoes, big shoes, ladies. And he didn't know what are all these shoes doing over here. And this tzaddik was asking a few malachim, what are these shoes? And one malachim said, I don't know. And we ask him, he knows. And the malachim are going by and they see their piles of dirty, smelly shoes. So the tzaddik finally found the higher malach and he asked him, new malach, what is this over here, these shoes? So he said that these are the shoes of all the Jewish people everywhere in the world from the dancing of Simchas Torah last night by the Akofis. The Divine Shalom has these shoes over here. He keeps by him these shoes. By the Akofis, Hashem Yisbarach has these shoes. It doesn't mean we didn't have them downstairs. We're still wearing them, but the Divine Shalom has a way of doing stuff like that. So he has our shoes of the Akofis. The Divine Shalom has the shoes in the Akofis over there by him in Shammai, and the shoes by the Kisei HaKovet, but that shoes HaKofis. So I was thinking about this, but the Lubavitcher Rebbe says the following. He says that he has a whole shmuz al darko, you know, chassidus and kabbalah, even halacha in yonim. But the other Rebbe explains that the Alter Rebbe says, and all the tzaddikim, all the nesim from Chabad, and all the tzaddikim explain that the Indian, there are many, many things about shoes. It's very deeply connected, obviously, to ne'ilah, which is the lashon of na'alayim. The Indian of a na'al, it's explained by the Alter Rebbe, is that the lowest part of a person, we've discussed this many times, the lowest part of a person is the heel, nachan, the foot. It's the lowest part of a person. The Tanya himself writes that the earlier generations correspond to the mind, and then the lower generation is lower and lower emotions, all the way down to our generation, which barely feels the tiniest little feet. Our generation is the heel of the heel, that part of the body can hardly feel anything anymore. And the Rebbe explains from the Alter Rebbe that part of the body is that which comes into contact with the stones, with the earth, with this world. The other parts of the body are still elevated, but the bottom of the body, the heel, is what comes into contact with the earth. And the Rebbe explains how the avonim, the koitzim, the stones, the pebbles, the thorns of this world hurt us. They hurt us, they injure us. Because a Jew by nature is so delicate, a Jew by nature is so refined, a Jew by nature is so dignified and so holy. And Hashem Yisbarach sent each and every one of us into this world. And by being in this world, we come into contact with the koitzim, with the avonim, with the thorns, with the stones of life in this world, of worldly life that hurt us, that injure us. And the Rebbe said, especially at the end of time, when it's so hard for us and we're so far from our... The minds are so far, the heart so far from the mind, and our foot is so far from the heart and from the mind. And it's so hard for us to have a feeling of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and true she'ifas for Ruchnis and for Kedusha. So the Rebbe says that in our generation, by the ikvis of the Mashiach, by the ikvis of the end, our feet are badly, badly injured by contact with this world. Meaning that we come into contact with this world and it hurts us, and we're struggling to overcome that. What's the meaning of wearing a shoe? You know, I grew up in a house, I know you saw this, Jeff, also by your parents, any other here that grew up by survivors. There was a very big Indian with shoes in my house. First of all, when we would go, my mother did not take me to buy shoes. Now, the rule was that my father never went to stores. Only my mother took us shopping. My father never went with us to stores. That was an Indian, sir. I know that's not pleasing to... But that was an Indian that my mother did. My father did not go with us shopping anywhere. There was no Indian but my father going shopping. But my mother always did that, except to buy shoes. My father took us to buy shoes. I went separately. My sister went at a different time. My mother was allowed to take my sister, but my father took me to buy shoes. And then he would buy me the same shoes, three or four pairs. He would say, give him a shoe. It was a Jewish guy in Coney Island Avenue. Even though we weren't from Brooklyn, we were from Queens, but my father wanted to go to this yid, somebody who my father knew that was a survivor. and we went there to buy shoes. And my father would say, put on the shoe onto him. I said, I'd like it. My father said, just put the shoe onto him. And my father would say to him in Yiddish, to say, give him three, if they're good, give him three pairs of these shoes. And I would say, but I don't want the shoe. My father says, this is good, they're the same shoes. You wear them. I said, but my foot also grows a little bit. He said, they don't grow so fast like that. And I would have three shoes. My father was actually hoarding shoes. You don't understand what that means? Because I never ended up wearing the other two pairs, ever. They were always being given to somebody else. I never wore the other two pairs because I was always outgrowing them. But my father said, just get more shoes. And my sister would come home also with three or four pairs of shoes that were never worn, the other pairs of shoes. There was just a collection, and they would give them to people. And then when it came time, again, I don't know if you saw this. Did you have a shining of the shoe ceremony in the house? We had an Indian every Erev Shabbos. My father also didn't do other things with us like that. It wasn't like there was no Indian in the house or quality time, stuff like that. My father said, sit down. There were certain times when he said, you have to watch this. And he would take out, and he had this thing to polish his shoes. And he would say, now you do it. When I was a little boy, you shine the shoes. And he would show me how to polish, and he'd say, do it again and make it good, make the shoes good, because you have to have a good pair of shoes, because the shoes are important. The shoes are important. And I didn't understand. I thought that's what we all do, because my friends also were the children of survivors, and we all had like that, very shiny shoes, and a lot of them, a lot of shoes. The Rebbe says the following. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says that a person has levushim. Those of you who learn Chassidus know levushim, the garments of the soul. And there's a garment of the body that corresponds to the garment of the soul of the end of time, which is the shoe, which is the last part of a person that could preserve what little dignity you still have left in your life. Because my father said that when they were on the death march, and when they were in concentration camp, the thing that was most precious to them on earth, there were two things. One was a piece of bread, and the other was to have a pair of shoes. A pair of shoes. My father said once, before he was in Matos, and when they were in the forced labor, and they were going someplace, there was a train, and the Germans broke into the train. They had surplus things, whatever the Germans were taking for themselves, and there was a train there. My father ran. He saw that there was a train that had some shoes, and a couple of my father's friends and my father, they were able to go. The Germans weren't watching, and they were able to get some shoes. It didn't make a difference if you were 10 or 10 and a half or 9 and a half. My father said, whatever it was, you stuffed your foot into it, or you were walking like that, you had a shoe. If you had a shoe, it means you had a chance to survive. But what the Rebbe is saying is on a deeper level. If you have a shoe on in this world, you have a chance to survive. Because a shoe means that na'al, means that there's something that you are noyo, that you're able to lock within yourself to preserve that memory that Sof Kol Sof you're yid. The Sof Kol Sof, even though you're walking on the stones, even though you're walking on the thorns of this world, even though by being in this world, you're dragged down and your feet come into contact with the filth of this world. But a Jew wears a shoe because the shoe means that I'm higher than this world. There's something that separates me, that I lock my neshama in. I preserve something, I preserve a part of myself that I don't allow to come into contact with this world. That's what it means, the shoe. So the Rebbe explains, and that's what it means, that when Hashem is Baruch is going to bring us back, that He's going to bring us back, it says in Pasuk again, V'kol l'shem n'chalim b'hidrich b'na'olim, that the Baruch Hashem is going to lead us back wearing shoes from Galus. And the description of the Aliyah L'Regel is Mayofu Pamayach Ba'Na'olam. The Baruch Hashem says, my Jews are wearing shoes. And he has a collection of shoes over all of the years of Galus. This memorial here, it's a very good idea. It's not the main thing, but there, somebody made an idea to have shoes. The main thing is that there's no question that the Baruch Hashem has all of these shoes. But thousands and thousands of pairs of shoes that the Baruch Shalom has in Shemaim, a collection of the shoes that were torn off the Jews. But the promise that Hashem Yisbarach made through the Novi Isaiah, V'hidrich b'na'olam, He's going to strike the river of Egypt, He's going to dry up the river, He's going to bring out all of our bodies, and He's going to strike the rivers of the world, and He's going to bring us back b'na'olam, V'hidrich b'na'olam. That means that our people are going to walk back to Yerushalayim, to Harabayis, wearing those shoes. And Hashem Yisbarach is going to say, even though you were put through such indignation, and humiliation, and you were forced to take off your shoes, and you were shot and thrown into the river like animals, not even an animal. And you were thrown into the river to die like that, to float downstream. But Hashem's well promised that the dignity of the Jewish people is going to be restored. And that all of these who watched our indignity, and all those who saw us being dishonored, and saw us taking off our shoes and thrown into the water, they're going to be witnesses to the striking of this place and breaking apart and those bodies rising. And all of Am Yisrael wearing our shoes, being brought back to Yerushalayim with the Gula Shalom HaMitzvah, Amen.